What about the issue of combinations of anti-angiogenic agents? Seems to me like where I'm hearing the most about that's in renal cell, but you know, the combination of, for example, of Bev and TKI like sorafenib and sunitinib. What are your thoughts about that?
I know there were some studies presented on that at this meeting, and you saw that in some cases they had negative outcome, and in some cases looks like positive outcome, or I'm not so sure about that.
Well, also a lot of toxicity in some situations.
Oh, yes, of course. I mean, and why wouldn't that be? Let's think about that. VEGF was not made for cancer cell survival. I mean, from the advertisements of the drug, one might get that impression, but VEGF is a very essential molecule for just our homeostasis or maintaining a regular body. Then even our neural network requires, our brain requires VEGF. Our lung epithelial cells require VEGF for their survival. So there are a lot of places in our body where, or kidney, for example, podocytes, they make the highest amount of VEGF anywhere in the body. Thyroid is another organ that makes so much VEGF. So if you remove VEGF, fenestrations, like these endothelial cells which are fenestrated, the fenestrations disappear. And some of that has been seen with TKIs when you see fatigue in these patients and you see sometimes their levels of hormones changing.
Yeah, it seemed like I heard a lot about that in terms of GBM, the fatigue that patients get. Any thoughts about why that happens? With specifically seems like with Bev, I don't know, do you see that with cedirinib?
Yes, same thing. Cedirinib also, patients have a lot of fatigue.
And you know, I've heard people speculate that maybe this is a cytokine thing or something. What do you think is going on?
Right now, there are a lot of hypotheses there, but I don't think we have pinned down why that may be happening. I have the feeling the effect on thyroid is certainly a player. I certainly cannot say if it's the player. Whether it has any effect on the neural system, we don't know that. I mentioned the work of Dr. Peter Kamelit in that context. It has yet to be shown that in human beings.
As we were talking about, we are seeing trials looking at in the adjuvant solid tumor setting. And in fact, in colon cancer, we should be seeing results of that major bevacizumab trial in terms of efficacy now in the next year. What are your thoughts about these kinds of strategies and bevacizumab, particularly in terms of the adjuvant versus metastatic setting? Where do you think it'll work better?
Well, in adjuvant setting, I mean, as you said, jury is out there. We'll know the results next year. They are both pluses and minuses. The plus is the following. Anytime there's VEGF, it's bad news. If there's any increased VEGF circulating around our body, I don't think it's good news. But then you will ask the question, well, when you give TKIs to renal cell cancer patients, they have high levels of VEGF in the circulation. What is this VEGF doing? Well, then you say, okay, well, at the same time, there's a TKI circulating, so maybe that's keeping its bad effects under control. What happens when you take these TKIs or bevacizumab out? The levels of VEGF in the circulation remain elevated for some time. And what is this VEGF doing? Is it just simply protecting tissues, or is it also causing some damage, or is it going to help some preclinical disease turn into clinical disease? So from that point of view, from that perspective, it makes sense to keep, you know, VEGF under control for a long time. But when you try to keep it under control, the levels of VEGF also go up. You see what I'm trying to say?
Yep.
So it's a chicken and egg story, you know, to some extent.